Welcome to the Modern Woodworkers Association, a podcast about woodworking from folk who woodwork. Woodworking is what we do, who we are, and what we like to talk about. So join us as we have a drink, sit around, and talk woodworking.
Hi, and this is the Modern Woodworkers Association podcast, episode number 245. And I'm Kyle Barton. I'm here with my co-host, Diami Plotke. And we're basically visiting with a few fellow podcasters here at the Texas Woodworking Festival.
Yeah, allegedly these guys make furniture and woodwork too, but I really only know them because they've got this podcast about woodworking. So, Phil and Ben, thank you very much for coming on. And we also need to welcome Byron for coming on. And he was just on the floor and I basically assaulted him. And he was nice enough to come up here and step in front of a mic. So, gentlemen, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here. Yeah.
So I'm going to start with you, Byron, because you're not here in any way associated with an exhibition.
That's correct.
You're just here to get married, and you decided to come to the festival while you were in Texas. So what do you think of it?
Well, it's actually not my wedding, to be fair.
I was like, wait, did I miss that?
if I was getting married today, I don't know if I would be allowed to be here.
Right.
But yeah.
It's your day. You get to spend it any way you want when right. You get married.
Yeah, I saw that this was going to be here, and I happened to be in town for the weekend, so I decided to pop on over, and I'm glad I did.
Well, excellent, excellent. Now, Philip is here because he makes something to do with records. But Ben, you're not completely unaffiliated the way Byron is, but you were here kind of as a spur-of-the-moment thing, right? You don't live around the block.
No, I don't. I live up in South Dakota and decided yesterday at about noon to come, mainly because my wife said, go ahead.
So, that's a very good reason to go somewhere.
It is.
If your wife says, do it.
I was not expecting her to say that.
So how long did it take you to get here?
I was like 13 and a half hours, I think. I drove by myself. It's pretty easy.
You know, just 13 hours.
Just, get in the car and go. You don't have to worry about anybody else. You can just keep the wheels turning. And
That's awesome. Yeah, he was trying to call me yesterday, and I couldn't answer my phone. And I looked at it later on in the day. It was about 3 missed calls and messages, and his band saying, hey, I'm thinking about coming on down. I'm like, is he kidding?
I was trying to figure out if the weather was going to, like,
affect it.
Because I didn't know if it was outside or if it was inside, because you had mentioned, the rain.
Well, because a lot of it was meant to be outside, but we weren't going to stop it because of the rain. So, as you can see, it just got packed inside.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty full. I didn't really feel like driving 13 and a half hours to find out that, it's going to be rained out.
Yeah.
We're closed.
Now, Philip, it's a little past 3 o'clock, and both you and Matt Kinney are here, and you're both still alive. So I think I'm still good in the pool.
You're still good, yeah. Well, that's going to happen after, all this is done.
Okay.
The arm wrestle starts.
Now, beyond attending the festival, let's take a minute and talk about what you guys work on, because anyone who's familiar with the woodworking podcast community, I'm sure, knows Phil and Ben at this point. But Byron, talk about your work.
So right now I'm a student at the Krenov School in Northern California, formerly the College of the Redwoods. Now it's under Mendocino College. So I'm basically working on whatever I'd like to right now, which is so rare. I think that's why I decided to go to the school, because I wanted to really try to, like, hone in skills and see what I could do with a lot of time and a lot of instruction. Right now, I am doing a sideboard kind of credenza thing. My idea was to have two different boxes that have two functions. So instead of having one that has drawers and doors, I've got one box that's got two doors and then one box that's got a bank of drawers, and they're going to be on one stand. That kind of unifies them in a way. And
nice.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, I'm not familiar with how the program runs. I know of the Krenov School, but mm-hmm. Is that a project you work on for a full semester, for the whole time you're there? How long do you have to work on what you want?
You basically, there's two semesters. It's like a regular school year, 9 months. And you pretty much do two main projects each semester. So starting with the design in the beginning of the semester, you do a mock-up that's made out of cardboard, you know, framing lumber, that kind of thing screwed together. And then you will move on into making the actual thing. And, you know, because we use a lot of methods that take a long time, that can end up taking a few or a couple months. So you end up with about 3 months to make one piece of furniture.
You're in good company. It's only taken me and Ben, what, like Ben a year to make four doors?
Seven.
And me 5 months to make a cabinet.
Was that 7 years or seven doors?
I'd say that it's both.
That's an amazing opportunity.
It really is.
It's really cool.
Was it as simple as, it's the Kernhoff School, I'm going to go, or did you actually choose between other schools?
I applied. It's a difficult application process. So, and it's like pretty selective. There are only about 25 spots. So for me, I wanted to go to the Kernhoff School because it's close to where I'm from. I'm from the Central Coast of California. And so I kind of chose to go there, or chose to apply to that program, because there are a decent amount of other programs in the area. But
yeah. Do you have any plans once you graduate at this point?
Right now, I applied for a second year, so I'm just trying to defer that decision for a while.
Okay. Smart.
I'm not entirely sure. My background was in architecture, so I might go back into that for a little while, get my feet back on the ground. But ultimately, I'd really love to keep building furniture. Yeah. You know,
just custom furniture, one man shop type deal.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, and if you can get another year in, then that gives you a chance to get. A bigger portfolio.
Absolutely.
Started off. I mean, yeah. We had Adrian
Ferrazzuti
on, yeah. And that was one of his things, was he wanted to do, he did another year, and then when he got done with that, then he went off, and then he worked
a steady job, and
so that he could build what he wanted instead of
just built what he wanted, super selective, got his portfolio going.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
He went to the route of building what he wanted and finding a customer base for that, rather than just making anything he could to pay the bills.
Yeah.
That's a really difficult thing to be able to do.
It is a difficult thing to do.
It's a big advantage once you can
difficult.
Do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But since this isn't your wedding, regardless of how wonderful a significant other may be, if you can do this now before you have the responsibilities of a spouse and a house and kids, you don't realize the opportunity you have now, so continue to take it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm very lucky.
Who's teaching now at the College of the Redwoods? I mean, they've had the turnover.
So our current director is Laura Mays. She's an excellent woodworker. Yep. She was a student 2001 and 2002 at the program. And along with her, there is Jim Budlong, who's been at the program for about 30 years now. Jim's still there.
Still teaching.
Eiler York West, who's been there with Greg Smith, and they've been there since like the 90s.
Okay.
And Todd Sorensen is our shop manager.
Okay, so David.
And David Welter's retired.
Michael Burns is retired.
But it's a pretty small group of people that have been kind of involved with this program for a long time. And that makes it really special to have the same people that were teaching 30 years ago be there in the same town.
There's a lot of institutional memory there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
A lot of tradition.
Yeah. Well, so, Philip, so you've done your, I guess, updated interpretation of the classic entertainment center.
Yeah, the mid-century modern style. Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. So what's next up for you?
Right now, I'm working.
I realize you still have about 2 months worth of posts on that ready to go.
I have it ready to go just for Jason from Texas Heritage.
Yeah.
I'm saving him for him. Every time I post a new picture, it's like, another one? I did build two of them. So a lot of people think it's just one. They look exactly the same. So the pictures you're seeing are not the same pictures. I built two. So there's
exactly.
that. I'll milk it as long as I can. Right now I'm working on two rifle display cases. Actually, one's for a rifle and one's for a katana.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing, but just different purpose. And then I'm working on seven lounge chairs, two beds.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, your lounge chair is great.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, now, you're going to sell plans for that upcoming?
I actually do sell plans.
Okay, you do already.
It's not instructions. I don't like calling them plans. I call them like schematics.
Okay. Are they measured drawings?
Measured drawings, yeah, because I'm not about to tell you every little step because I don't know every little step. You know, it's like way too much work. So it's got all the angles, and the hope is people buy that. and it kind of takes away this mysterious, like, ooh, what angle should it be or what height should this be at?
Right.
It just gives them the confidence to do it. They don't necessarily have to do it exactly. Mm-hmm. And I've had several people send me the finished chair, and it's like, man, that's pretty cool. Like, they that inspired them to do it, and they did it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's always cool.
Yeah, I've found that when it comes to chairs, it's getting those dimensions, the angles right.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing a stool footrest, right?
Yeah.
That can make or break. Yeah, Don't ask me how I know that.
And a lounge chair is pretty freaking forgiving.
Yes.
You know, it really is. It's big old cushions on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's comfy.
Exactly. So, Ben, what are you up to these days?
What?
I was just waiting for you to let him know.
So, what Ben's doing.
I've been working on these church tours that have been going on for way, way too long. They're 7/4 sawn white oak doors that have this trim details and that are for a local church in my community. That's what I've been mainly doing. But I also built a shop in the last year, so I've got a new...
And the doors are not just church doors. They're amazing doors.
They are
amazing.
Thank you.
You hate them. You want them out of there, but they're amazing.
I do want them out.
You're emotionally done with the project, right?
It's
over.
I've been done quite a while ago. it's a wonderful project. I think the thing that I like the most about them, or what I will like about them in the future, is that they're going to go on this church, and so it's a public space. It's not something that is going to go into a private home that only a couple of people are going to get to enjoy. This is going to go on to this public church that it'll be there for decades, and there'll be lots and lots of people that'll be able to, you know, they'll just walk in and out of them, but they get to use
it. How old are the doors you're replacing?
The doors I'm replacing, they're not that old. They're like... I want to say they're maybe 30 years or
so. So they were just poorly built doors.
Well, they were... I don't know that they were...
The guy's still alive, so he doesn't want to say.
The guy that made them is a good friend of mine. And he did...
Did the church take his interior doors and put them outside?
Well, they were MDF cord doors.
Okay.
But they were exterior MDF, but they didn't get any maintenance.
Right.
And they were 16th inch veneer skinned. They were just panels with the glass and then applied molding trim to them. I'm sure there was budget involved.
Right.
I'm
yeah.
sure there was.
Were they the original doors?
No, they weren't the original, but they were made very sympathetic to the look of the original doors.
Okay.
The original doors were rail and style. Yeah.
Right. I get involved. I do commercial roofing by trade, and we do a lot of new construction. And it's very easy to value engineer a quality door out of a new building project when you're looking at budget for everything. So I could appreciate that the original doors might not have been what they now understand is what they should have in terms of the quality you're making.
Sure. So with your roofing, the project that I worked on before was this mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it had a terracotta tile.
That was the one where you were there for a year or two, set up in the space, right?
I was there for 4 years doing that project. There was like 200.
And that was only two doors, right?
That was four doors.
Four doors. Yeah. And three windows.
Three windows.
No, there were 250 windows.
Wow.
And then 200 and there was the same amount of storm windows.
Now, they were when I think of that, I think of a state institution that was closed and let go... unmaintained for years, and now it's being restored, and that's when you kind of step into it. It's that kind of project?
Yeah, that building hadn't been occupied since 1981.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So it was... The roof had failed.
But you were asking about the tile. What was your question?
Oh, I was just wondering about the roofing work that you do.
Yeah, you just threw that out there.
Yeah, well, we do. Believe it or not, this podcast doesn't pay the bills. So,
wait, what? It doesn't.
That's not what you're doing.
We've been working towards that goal.
Right, I know. We're like, I want to be like you guys.
We do all forms of commercial roofing. So, our bread and butter, we put 30 guys in the roof every day, and our bread and butter is commercial flat roof rip and replacement.
Okay.
But we do. This kind of historic preservation you're talking about, we do. My biggest personal project as a project manager was a church built in 1916, and we spent 9 months taking the tile off, redoing all the underlying flashings, putting new tile on. We've done historic work at Ellis Island. We've done work for the Central Park Preservation Society. So we get into that kind of work. But you're a very, you can probably appreciate this. With the structure we have now where we have to put so many guys to work every day, that kind of work, you can't just throw a 30-man crew at. You have to have the right guys and the right mix. And we do a little bit of it mostly because it's intellectually interesting. And as a project manager, I would rather, you know, work on a church that was built in 1916 than a warehouse that was built in 1980. So we do a little bit of it because it keeps us on our toes and it's interesting work. But ultimately, it's not what pays the bills, really, right, for us, at least.
Right. What's the flat work? Is it EDM? What do you guys use?
We do mostly EPDM. Okay. We do a little bit of TPO. We're kind of getting into the weeds here, but our work is almost exclusively single-ply as opposed to asphalt-based. We are on Long Island, so we have a fair market in New York City, and modified asphalt is still king in New York City, but I can't look a customer in the face and tell them that asphalt gives them any good value. Because what's happened in the market since, like, the year 2000, the price of asphalt has gone off the chart and the quality has collapsed. Because the more oil is worth, the more they refine things out of it, and roofing and roads gets what's left at the end. So a built-up roof, which is what people think of as a traditional hot roof where there's a kettle and you're melting the asphalt, you pump it up on the roof, you're putting it down in mops. In 2000, that was a good quality roof at a good price. And now it's a crappy roof at an exorbitant price because the asphalt, well, in 2000, the asphalt was costing us about $250 a ton. And the last I checked, which was 3-4 years ago, it was $1,400 a ton.
What?
So the asphalt is off the chart, and it's technically we still do it, but it's really not what's in the market anymore.
It's kind of like walnut, right?
Yeah. 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 It's like ash is going to be. Yeah.
Welcome to the Modern Roofers Association podcast.
You all lost me right there. I was like, P2D double D, what? I was like,
someday we should do an episode in New York State Energy Code. To bring us back to woodworking. So, Philip, you're here. You've got your pieces on display, these wonderfully built, amazing, unbelievably expensive cabinets that just riff-raff off the street who paid $15 a touching and playing with. How's the show going for you?
It's good. I mean, I do shows like this. One, it's local, so it's not a big commitment for me. But mainly, I just like to engage. I like to meet people and just get to talk to them. I'm not necessarily looking for clients from it.
I'm assuming this is more of a community-building show than a customer show.
Absolutely. This is a woodworking show. It's really not meant to be a furniture show. And when I signed up to do this a while back, I just said yes, and I wasn't sure what I was going to bring. I was like, well, let's just bring this. What the heck? And it worked out because we have a lot of furniture makers here that have also brought a piece of furniture, too. Yeah. So
okay.
Now you're also teaching here at the Austin School of Furniture and Design. So what kind of classes are you teaching?
So right now I'm teaching I guess they call it Fundamentals of Woodworking. So it's a very simple class, kind of for beginners, where we're doing a Japanese toolbox is the first project. Mm-hmm. That gets them into doing a little bit of milling, a couple of little joinery, basic joinery. And then we did a James Cronoff style sawhorses, and that gets them into more fine, doing, you know, integral mortise and tenons, through tenons, and that's it for that. So it's 10 weeks, so we meet once a week.
Is that at night?
Night, yep.
Yeah,
cool. It goes from 6 to 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. As I was explaining to Byron when I first encountered him on the show floor, I felt that it was his duty to attend some of the classes here.
Yeah. Give us time. Give us time. Give us time.
You know, I still haven't built my own sawhorses yet. So.
I thought it was a good juxtaposition against the Kernhoff method to really figure out, you know, is it the Austin method, the Kernhoff? I think they're really neck and neck.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Yeah. I think you're in the right place.
Just depends on how you cut the mortise.
Right. And to me, like, as you guys know, because you interviewed Austin, mm-hmm. Austin was a student. I also teach at ACC.
Right.
I'm slowly kind of getting out of that more because I want to be able to have the freedom to do these smaller classes to people that are really wanting to try to pursue this more.
ACC is the community college?
Yes, Austin Community College.
Austin Community College.
And I teach in a few different places. I'm trying to kind of travel and teach also. But for me, it's like Austin went through that program, and he's like, what next? And it's like this. And I knew him, you know, as a friend. Right. He got to know me, and he helped me out with stuff. And we started talking about this. It's like, this just makes a lot of sense for this area. I mean, you see how many people turned out today? It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And so right now we're restricted. Tools, space, But hopefully we're going to keep pushing it. The next class I'm designing right now is Furniture Making 1, and that's where we're going to kind of do a spin-off on the table. I just did an article for Fine Woodworking. It's has like a gun stock joint. It's a dining room table, but we're going to do like a sofa table of that. And just start getting a little bit finer, start getting them to do some jigging themselves where everyone makes the jig and have to think about it instead of me showing up. Put part A into part one jig route, and I'll put part two into part, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
have a little more time to get more in depth. So I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this goes. So,
yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. So you're responsible for this, basically.
No, I don't know about that. Austin is. But, and we just had Matt out, so I thought that was really cool. Matt Kenny came out and taught for 7 days, six days. He's now drinking a lot downstairs, so he's tired.
That makes sense.
I'm assuming he was drinking a lot while he was up here talking.
Yeah, right, probably. No, he wasn't. It was fantastic. He's a great teacher.
Well, we need to let y'all get back to your booths and stuff, but before we leave, Ben, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
I'm really only on Instagram, and at Chuck Stone Woodworking is my name.
Well, that's good.
I'm on Instagram at BT Green. It's green with an E at the end. You can also probably find links to my stuff on the Krenov School Instagram page. I think they just put up a picture of my bench today. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool.
And, Philip, we got about 30 minutes for you to list out all your stuff.
Oh, that's not going to be long enough. Well, I'm trying to think. So Philip Morty Furniture on... I mean, I'm not original with my name at all. So Philip Morty Furniture on Instagram.
You took that from somebody else?
Yeah, I took that totally from someone else, yeah.
Yes.
I'm not like Ramon Artful selfie, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that. I do have a YouTube. I don't really do much with it. I just spoke to a good friend of mine, Andy Rolls, and he's like, you know, just do a video once a month. So I'll probably try to do that a little bit, but that takes a lot of work. So that's Philip Morty Furniture. My website, Philip Morty Furniture. Just type Philip Morty Furniture. Timber, is it? Or Timber. You can find me on Timber.
Yes. Well, my name's Barton.Kyle on Instagram. And
you guys have a podcast, right? So where can people listen to you?
I was just going to skip over that part.
Yes, we totally forgot that, too. You can find me, Ben, and Ramon on the Woodworkers Podcast. Yes, Kaz. Well, I haven't been drinking.
None of us have. None of us have.
Well, so we did. I was me, Ben, and Ramon. Ben called us up and was like, hey, you want to do a podcast? I'm like, okay, sure. We get to talk for like an hour a night. Why not? So, yeah.
It's a great podcast.
We appreciate it.
It is a good podcast, but let me fast up for a second. To anyone who doesn't have a podcast, going after a long day at work, and you go into a nice quiet space, and you just set up a microphone, you talk to other woodworkers for an hour, it's delightful.
Sometimes.
I don't have to talk to you.
No, it is. It really is. Well, and these guys, we've been following each other back and forth, and I value... And we all value each other what we do. And I think it's kind of a neat mix between the three of us. So this is all Ben. Like, when it started, I was like, well, we're going to have, like, questions. We can have this, that. He's like, no. Just like now. Sit down. Have a little chat. It's not formatted. And really, the only reason it's not is because we're not professional at all. And if we had to be, we wouldn't be doing it.
For better or worse, it's not formatted. it's a lot of fun. And we... You know, one of the things that's the most fun is as you guys have, you know, is having guests on.
Yep.
Having people on that, you know, I think I mentioned it in the last podcast. It's a perfect excuse to get a hold of folks that you want to talk to.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But
I was talking to Adrian Verzutti. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, that guy's amazing. I was like giddy about it, getting to interview him.
Sure. Or like Tim Coleman, right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, those guys are.
And how responsive to being to it. You know, I figured it'd be like, who the heck are you? Go away.
Yeah, we
so
had,
it's been awesome.
We had Craig Thibodeau on our podcast Peter Craig's Galbraith awesome. And stuff. Yeah, it's just amazing.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that Matt asked you guys to be on, right?
On his podcast?
Well, he hasn't been on, and I can only assume that's because you guys have enough discretion to not bring him on, because he'll be on anybody's podcast.
He's been on our podcast. The only bad review we got was when Matt was on.
That's right.
He dropped the F-bomb.
Yeah. He got hit on.
And I was just on Matt's podcast. So he's got everyone's got a podcast.
Yeah.
You got a podcast
I'm
yet?
Thinking about starting a podcast.
You need to start a podcast.
Start a podcast.
For years and years,
there's only like one or two or three woodworking podcasts. And now there's
Well, you guys have been doing it for forever. It's been a long time.
2012, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's really cool. And very professional. For people that can't see, this is a little overwhelming. It's like mics and tech stuff.
Yeah. This is my intro to woodworking.
I'm going to steal this design, by the way.
Sell plans for it.
That's awesome.
Well, great. Well, thanks, guys.
Yeah, and people can find us at modernwoodworkersassociation.com. You can always follow me at Diami Plaki on Twitter or Penultimate Woodshop on Twitter. And you can follow Barton.Kyle on Instagram.